Geek Radio Daily for Anti-Friday, and for the love of all that's holy, could the ice please go away?
Right?
If there's not where ice where you are, then you're doing well.
Ice, baby, too cold.
I don't need to be getting all the branches, big, heavy branches. Anyway, hi, everyone. Welcome to the 15th of February. I hope you had a fantastic love day yesterday. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the lady is always ready for her next project, except for today, when she doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's
going
a flintstress.
The game is afoot. We're going to need a lot of tea.
For sleeping? That doesn't make any sense. Hi, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Did I mention that my nose is on fire? That I have 15 wild badgers living in my trousers?
I'm a crazy wild man. What happened this fine day, yeah?
Well, let's take it all the way back to 399 BCE. The philosopher Socrates, also known as Socrates, who will widely be credited with laying the foundation of Western philosophy, is sentenced to death after being found guilty of corrupting the minds of the youth of Athens and introducing new gods into Greek ideology.
1897, Ferdinand Braun publishes a paper in the journal Annalen der Physik und Chemie describing his Braun tube, the first cathode ray oscilloscope.
In 1903, the first teddy bear is introduced in America. It's made by two Russian immigrants, Morris and Rose Mitchum, who own a toy and novelty store in Brooklyn, New York. They coined the term teddy bear from President Theodore Roosevelt's nickname Teddy, and him not killing a bear cub. Well, just its parents.
1931, Universal releases Dracula, directed by Todd Browning, starring Bela Lugosi, Edward Van Sloan. That's a movie that doesn't suck.
1946, the electronic numeral integrator and computer, ENIAC, the first electronic general-purpose computer, is officially dedicated at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia.
1951, the first atomic reactor to be used in medical therapy is first used on a human patient at the Brooklyn National Laboratory in Upton, New York. The Brookhaven Graphite Research Reactor brings the experimental treatment of brain cancer using neutrons from the reactor. Over the next 2 years, 10 patients will be treated with boron neutron capture theory. The reactor, the first to be dedicated to peaceful exploration of atomic energy, will be operated from 50 to 68 and will be used for a variety of research projects.
In 1955, GE announces the successful synthesis of 16-inch diamonds using the first successfully reproducible diamond production process.
See? They're not that valuable. 1967, the first anti-bootleg recording legislation is enacted, stunning us all that it took that long.
1983, Magnavox settles its television game patent infringement suit against Mattel Electronics and five other companies. Mattel will pay a settlement fee and receive a license to continue producing and selling its Magnavox game console.
1988, the BBC shows us life in the year 3 million when Red Dwarf premieres.
Oh, smeg. In 1996, U.S. District Judge Ronald L. Buckwalter blocks enforcement of the Communications Decency Act signed by President Bill Clinton, punishing anyone who makes indecent material available to minors over computer network.
There's a very good reason why. 1999, about 100 programmers march on Microsoft's offices in Foster City, California, demanding a refund for unused copies of the Windows operating system bundled onto computers they had purchased. Good luck with that.
Wow. 2001, a flash animation of the opening cutscene of the side-scrolling shooting game Zero Wing is posted to the internet forums. The popularization of the animation as something awful will give rise to the "all your base are belong to us" meme that will be a staple of internet culture for years to come.
Still being used to this day. 2010, Mattel unveils two new Barbie dolls featuring Barbie's 125th and 126th careers because she can't keep a job. One is a computer engineer. According to Mattel, designers work closely with the National Academy of Engineering and Society of Women Engineers to develop an authentic appearance for the doll. Computer engineer Barbie's accessories include a Bluetooth headset, a laptop travel bag, and a smartphone, and still no goddamn pockets.
In 2013, the Chelyabinsk meteor explodes over Russia, injuring about 1,500 people.
In 2156, the Earth-Romulan War begins, taking a high toll on both sides. The repercussions of the war will be felt for centuries.
On this day in 2484, Zoe Lane, later Zoe Washburn, is born in Serenity.
Speaking of birthdays,
Zachary Gordon is 23. That's Greg in Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Ashley Tesoro is 38. That's Liz on Saved by the Bell, The New Class.
Alex Bornstein is 47 from Mad TV and Lois in Family Guy.
Renee O'Connor is 50. That's Gabrielle and Xena in People's Dreams.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Michael Cozada is 58. Agent Gomez, Breaking Bad.
Christopher McDonald is 66. That's Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore.
Wow. Matt Groening is 67, Simpsons, Futurama, Life in Hell, Floating Downstream with Akbar and Jeff.
No longer with us, born this date in 1564, Galileo.
Galileo!
Galilei, Italian astronomer and physicist.
Magnifico. 1820, Susan B. Anthony, American social reform, active in women's suffrage and anti-slavery movements.
1856, Emil Kraepelin, German psychiatrist and academic.
Born in 1896, Arthur Shields, Irish-American actor. She Wore a Yellow Ribbon and The Quiet Man.
1899, Gail Sondergaard, for Mark of Zorro, Black Cat, and A Night to Remember.
Born in 1907, Cesar Romero, American actor, singer, and dancer. Now You See Him, Now You Don't. And the Joker in The Batman 66.
1914, Kevin McCarthy, from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And was the horrible, horrible boss in UHF.
Born in 1927, Harvey Korman, American actor, singer, and director.
1931, Jeff Edwards, who had some movies, but is best known as the game show host for Starcade, where people played arcade games.
Wow. And born in 1964, Chris Farley from Saturday Night Live, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep, Beverly Hills Ninja, was supposed to be Shrek.
That would have been a completely better movie.
Well, I don't think it'll be on TV tonight, but on CBS we get a rerun of The Neighborhood, Bob Hart, Tabashola, and a rerun of All Rise, and oh yeah, Bull.
ABC's got The Bachelor, and then Lynn faces challenges while coping with a pregnant patient who has an aggressive tumor on a new The Good Doctor.
Yikes. On NBC, a picture's worth a thousand danger words on a new Ellen's Game of Games, and we get The Wall and Weakest Link.
Fox, Buck reveals the story behind his daredevil behavior and faces certain parts of his childhood after Maddie shares an uneasy family secret on a new 911, followed by a new 911 Lone Star.
On the CW, we get a new All-American, and the war continues between the 100 and the Cobra Cartel. Lynn's worries regarding Jefferson grows, and Jennifer is curious about a new boy at school on a new Black Lightning.
Freeform has the last good Toy Story movie, Toy Story 3.
On AMC, as renewed panic sweeps across the city, Tracy discovers the contamination radius may be much larger than before.
No.
But due to the random discovery of the nerve agent in a perfume bottle,
no.
On a new The Salisbury Poisoning.
Bravo, Francesca makes a decision regarding Elizabeth's future on deck, and the crew is impacted by Rachel's feelings toward the interior on a new Below Deck.
Sure. FX has Marion.
Probably The Martian, because I can't type. FXX, The Simpsons Marathon, Treehouse of Horror, VII, Homer to the Max, and Saddlesore Galactica.
On FXM, Logan.
Paramount's got The Shawshank Redemption. Brooks
oh,
was
shank.
There.
Sundance has Jumanji.
Sci-Fi has Death Wish. That's the Bruce Willis one.
Oh, on TNT, the Big Alice crew prepares to leave the Snowpiercer after being granted some shore leave. Leighton and Wilford disagree on what to do in the future. That's a new Snowpiercer.
But tonight we're watching the Hallmark Channel because a small-town baker receives the surprise of her life when she gets an opportunity to compete on Valentine's Day's baking show in New York City, but receives an even bigger shock when she runs into her ex-fiancé while
uh-oh.
There. Erin Cahill and Brandon Penny star in The Secret Ingredient.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Homicide Detective Abby is transferred after several charges of excessive force are filed against her. She gets assigned a shoplifting case and the murders of two women and their children, but discovers that they're all related to cocaine trafficking. She knew they were related immediately thanks to her intuition. With her diligence, this case will have a happy end, cause she is bringing the crackdown. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Happiest of birthdays to you, a podcast that brings a bright spot to my heart, even if I accidentally miss a week like this week. Did you know it is Thursday? I never really got the hang of Thursdays. Chappy was a really interesting choice this week, since trivia for the show states only 4 episodes out of the 6 that were shot were shown in the United States.
Oh.
Chappy must have had fun filming this chance to go back to the well and make more money doing the 1983 version of Casablanca. Well, that is absolutely right. They were at the David Soul, 6 episodes filmed, only 4 episodes shown. Gosh, who does Chappy's with only 4 episodes are available? That's
wow.
Just insane. I can't imagine it'll ever happen again. Good job, Drace. I will never see more pig without thinking more pig again, because I don't say the MMORPG, it's a more pig. You know what you never see in reruns these days? Give Me a Break with Nell Carter and later Joey Lawrence. Mm-hmm. They should include the Dr. Minifig in the Van Gogh Lego set. That is 100% true. And sorry I didn't get an email in on Thursday. Something about Thursdays. I bounced from meeting to meeting at work and never got a break to listen to the cast. Bonus, that did mean I had 2 podcasts to look forward to that day. I Love Rich's Marvin the Martian. Well, who doesn't? I mean, it's a delight. That is from Mark. who will be playing Jackbox tonight because he's already told me 7 times not to forget to be there. Okay, no, he hasn't. It's only been 5. But if you would like to play along or just tell us things that's going on in your brain, by all means, drop a note. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, in a voicemail message, send us a text message. Include your name. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
I mean, 4 episodes. That's just nonsense.
Do you like to study? Are you kind to creatures of all shapes and sizes? Do you believe in monsters? Then Baron Davis and the Monster Rangers want you. Monsters hide in plain sight. Boys and girls can see them, and so can you if you just use Baron Davis's patented Imagine-Mate process involving self-discipline, wonder, and candy. Monster Rangers are kind, honorable, spooky, thrifty, and irreverent, while the evil Dr. Duke Davis and his plug uglies are mean, full of bunk, and your run-of-the-mill mulligrubs. Join us to help defend the land of Monstru. Monsters around the globe are in trouble and need our help. So if you've got the moxie, then log on to your nearby terminal and go to monsterrangers.com. Believe, study, protect.
This is Gareth David Lloyd from Torchwood, and this is Geek Radio Daily.
It is. I mean, we identify it several dozen times throughout
the game. We got the website and everything.
I mean, there's all that stuff. You couldn't possibly miss it unless you were trying very, very hard.
Okay. Give me your roll.
Warriors, unsheath your weapons. Magic wielders, raise your wands.
Let me check my polyhedral dice. Turns out I have frost giant strength. Look it up.
And in this day and age with all the ice, that'll probably help you out.
Oh, yeah, that would be
good. What else is out there, though, yeah?
Well, this patron is more a blind force of nature than a genuine entity. It's classified as a great old one because it exists outside of any other class. Regardless of entity patronized, this one is ever-present and eternal. All existence is fodder for Vogels Zildrohar. Some long-dead warlock scholar named it, assigning it personified traits to the barely sentient being. In reality, it's a force of decay and entropy in the multiverse. Vogels Zildrohar is the force that transforms matter of the prime material plane to negative energy of the plane of the same name. While not completely conscious being, warlocks have found it a source of power. The pact with Vogels Zildrohar is informal and unspoken. One must only avail themselves of the power that is waiting. The way that it works is elementary. The more entropy in the world in any given moment, the stronger the patronizing warlock is. The pact with Vogels Zildrohar is very simple. Use the power that is made available to you. Teach your disciples to do the same. Your power, your gifts, will grow as mine does. Now that's Vogels Zildrohar, warlock patron from Russell Sawyer.
Or you can get a campaign primer for Cepheus Engine or any other 2D6-based science fiction game that presents a starport and the surrounding city as a play space for PCs to adventure across. They can play in space, use the new Star Cop career to make a cop character charged with patrolling the main streets of a busy starport city. The city is rife with crime, and competing officials are trying to hustle for money and power. Only the Star Cops can keep the peace on the streets of Precinct 12 from Felbrog Herialt.
Well, the desert sands of the Jural Empire are a dangerous place to visit. The sands are deep and are constantly in motion. Recently, a sandstorm uncovered an ancient pyramid that may be 1,000 years old or more. It's believed that this may be the tomb of Emperor Nekuku, who was a rich and powerful ruler long ago. What dangers and treasures might be discovered? This is an OSRIC adventure for up to 6 characters of 5th to 7th level of experience. Pay what you want for the shifting sands from old school role-playing.
A group of level 3 adventurers takes on a mission of tailing and retrieving an escaped student of Els4 Academy of Wizardry. They must teleport to the school's premises, talk with both faculty and students, travel to a secluded family mausoleum. Headmaster suspects the missing student is there to search for a dangerous family heirloom that should never be interacted with.
It's in the Chamber of Secrets.
Probably. But for free, you can pick up Krikori's Mirror, level 3 adventure from Elven Tower.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Cobra Kai writer Michael Jonathan Smith is going to be the showrunner for Sony's Twisted Metal adaptation. Has been stuck in development hell for a bit now.
Well, maybe, but not as long as Twisted Metal Harbor City or Twisted Metal Apocalypse or Twisted Metal Revolution.
You say you want to remember. Smith will also serve as one of the executive producers for Twisted Metal and will team up with Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who you know is the writing duo behind both Deadpool and the Zombieland films.
I'd pay the $40 streaming fee for a Deadpool Zombieland movie.
That would... That would be something. What 80s chick song would you have for that? Twisted Metal is going to follow a motor mouth outsider trying to deliver a mysterious package while avoiding the wild array of marauders and their vehicles of destruction, including the infamous ice cream truck driven by Sweet Tooth. Will Arnett has been cast in the role of Sweet Tooth. Arnett's also helping produce the series. He's willing to be your ice cream man. Just stop him when he's passing by.
Well, remakes are nothing new for Hollywood, but many people wonder if Hollywood has just run out of things to make when they heard they were rebooting the 1997 John Woo-directed film Face Off that starred Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. But thanks to some new info, it may not actually be a reboot after all.
Take one goddamn guess.
Well, Godzilla vs. Kong director Adam Wingard is currently working on what we thought was a remake, but now Wingard has said it's a sequel to the original film.
It's like looking into a mirror, only not.
Good one. Not much else is known about the film, and no word on either Cage or Travolta returning. It's not like they're doing a whole lot. The film left Cage's castor, Troy, dead, so his return is unlikely unless Wingard makes changes to the original film's ending.
No, it's easy, really. Turns out they both had a secret plan involving doubles, which means that they really had a face-off. Off.
In the 97 film, Travolta plays FBI agent Sean Archer, who, in order to thwart a terrorist attack, undergoes a procedure and trades faces with Cage's castor Troy, the criminal mastermind that killed his son. Things get confusing when Troy wakes up faceless and forces the surgeon to give him the face of Cage's Sean Archer. Then the only way to determine who was who is to see who can
eat a peach for hours. 6 years after declaring the series as dead as Micah at the end of the first Paranormal Activity film, there's a new one coming.
We at GRD would like to apologize if you're bothered for the 14-year-old spoilers.
Paramount Pictures and producers Jason Blum and original writer-director Oren Peli have resurrected the franchise.
You cannot run from this. It'll follow you. It may lay dormant for years. Something may trigger it to become more active, and it may, over time, reach out to communicate with you.
The new film, which is set to release next year, will be directed by Underwater's Will Eubank with a screenplay from Happy Death Day director Christopher Landon. Landon, no stranger to the series, he wrote two good sequels for it. He, as the writer for Paranormal Activity 2, 3, and 4, and The Marked Ones. Most recently, he brought The World Freaky, which has been delighting so many.
Well, then he has this. Don't underestimate a straight white man's propensity for violence.
This reboot will be an unexpected retooling of the franchise, which means that Katie, Christy, and their whole family should get a break already. And no more Toby, because he ruins everything and shouldn't be around.
Do you have a cause for this feeling?
I have a cause. It's because I hate him.
Well, the Texas Department of Public Safety recently found itself in some trouble after they sent out a real Amber Alert for Chucky, the killer doll from the Child Plays film franchise.
A.K.A. Charles Earl Ray.
The department blamed the accidental alert sent on a test malfunction. The alert itself named Chucky as the suspect in an abduction and described him as 28 years old, having red auburn hair and blue eyes, standing at 3'1" and weighing about 16 pounds. It also described him wearing blue denim overalls with multicolored striped long sleeve shirt and wielding a huge kitchen knife.
And then he was heard laughing, saying he had a date with a 6-year-old.
The accidental Amber Alert also identified the abducted child as a 5-year-old named Glenn, weighing 6 pounds, standing 2'3" and wearing a blue shirt with a black collar at the time of his abduction.
Plus, he's an orphan, a freak, and of course Japanese.
Glenn is the eunuch son of Chucky and his fellow killer doll, Tiffany. Glenn first appeared in 1998's Bride of Chucky. By the end of the 2004 movie Seed of Chucky, Glenn had committed 6 murders and was confirmed to have no genitals, similar to a Ken doll.
He should really beg Dimbala for the power.
The Amber Alert for Chucky and Glenn was set out 3 times in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, according to CBS, before Texas public safety officials told reporters, "We apologize for the confusion this may have caused and are diligently working to ensure this does not happen again. We're truly sorry and simply want to be your friend till the end."
New Westminster police are searching for a suspect who brandished a sword while stealing Magic the Gathering cards from a local store.
No, He-Man. Kevin Smith's show will bring back your career.
Police said they were called to Royal City Center for a report of a theft at TNN Games. They told police a suspect allegedly placed several packages of Magic the Gathering cards into a large bag, and that when an employee tried to stop them, the suspect pulled a large curved sword.
The guards from Aladdin?
According to investigators, the suspect is described as a white man between 20 to 40 years of age with a bandage on his left hand and was wearing a dark-colored rain jacket with a hood, a dark gray t-shirt, gray pants, white runners, dark laces. He wore a red and yellow face mask featuring the lightning bolt logo of the DC superhero, The Flash.
Of course he did.
And also carried a large blue Costco-branded cooler bag at the time of the incident.
I didn't know Costco sold scimitars.
Congratulations to the customer of the day at our Royal City Center location, the shop wrote in a Facebook post alongside images from their surveillance system. If you know this person, please let us know so we can pass this along to the new Westminster Police Department. But you know, maybe this is just like a flash from a different universe, though so far from our best indications of science, there can be only one. GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. It's always a fun time. And yeah, come see us and play Jackbox Night. Thanks to everyone that came out on Friday night. And oh, Jovan, the things we continue to learn about you. Drop us a note if you know things about Jovan or anybody else that we should be talking about. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can send that voicemail message, the text message, to the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
And we will catch you the next time.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
That was lame.
It seems I found myself on the voyage of the damned.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Well, why don't you want to talk about it?
Why do you want to talk about it?
Why are you answering the question with a question?
Why are you asking questions I don't want to answer?
Why are you blocking?
I'm not blocking.
Then why do you have problems expressing your wants?
I don't. I want you to shut up. See? No problem.
You're just displacing your anger.
Believe me, it's properly placed.
You're really mad at whoever did this to you.
No one did anything to me.
Yes, yes, yes. Someone hurt you so bad. Someone hurt you many years ago.
Leave my parents out of this!
Breakthrough! Let's go with that. Let's explore family origin. Were you hugged as a child, Shrek?
All right, all right. I want a home. And someone to share it with. Okay?
Yes, Shrek. It's okay.
And Farquaad said he'd give me my own swamp in exchange for the princess.
You really think you can trust that Weasley oil rag, don't you?
Yeah, right. But now I'm gonna have what he wants.
Boy, has he underestimated you.
Yeah, he can join the club. People see me and they go, ah! Help! A big, stupid, stinky, smelly, ugly ogre! I'm so scared! They judge me before they even know me. My folks always told me that everyone loves ogres.
I see.
So, I guess they were a little overprotective.
A little?
That's why I gotta do this. I want them to know I can take care of myself.
You wanna make them proud.
Yeah.